About 4 years ago as a church, after much prayer and lengthy discussions with our staff and our board of directors and a number of Vineyard pastors, we made a decision to change our membership process here at the church. And so as a church, we, for the last 4 years, we no longer have what's referred to as a formal membership process. But just to kind of give you a little history of our church, so, you know, when our church first started, about the first almost 20 years, we never had membership. We just didn't like it, didn't think it fit us, and so we didn't ever have membership. And then for the next 13 years or so, we decided we wanted to have membership, and so we had a run of almost 13 years where we had membership. And now we're in a different phase again, and we're back to not having membership. And I membership is one of these issues that people go over in their mind. There's pros and cons about membership. Like, for instance, the benefit or the plus side, at least for those of us on staff and the pastor, membership kind of helps us know, like, who's with us, you know, through their commitment, who's with us, and kind of helps us to, when we're dealing with leadership positions, membership can be helpful. But then on the negative side, sometimes we ran into this kind of conflict where we'd have people coming to our church who didn't feel comfortable with the idea of membership, but they were actually more committed to our church through their regular giving and their regular involvement than some people who would take the membership class, sign the paper, and never do anything, never give to the church, never get involved. And it's sort of like, I don't know, are they really a member? Are they not a member? And so what we've decided for the past 4 years, we don't offer what we refer to as a formal membership. And right now, I think this is good. I feel good about this. I like what I see. I like the fruit of it. But I'm not here this morning to tell you we're never going to change again. So another 5 or 10 or 15 years, we may see a switch. And I kind of like that, because that's what's nice about being an independent church. We can make those decisions and see how they benefit us as a church. We think, at least right now, we can tell who's with us and who isn't. You know, we can tell if you're with us, your giving habits, your involvement says, hey, I'm really with you. And that's fine. And what we're trying to look at right now is we're trying to approach the church as a family. And if you think of a family, you don't join a family. You're born into a family, right? I mean, you're born into the family, and as a family, you get what you get. You know, you don't get to pick certain people. It's like, this is who we are, and you get the good with the bad. And just like as a family, you figure out how to make it work. And so that's the way we're trying to approach our church right now. We're looking at it, hey, we're family, and you're born into the family. You don't really join a family. You're born into it. And we're looking at it like, when you open your heart to God and when you experience what we refer to as a new birth experience, or when you are born again, or when you are converted, the Bible talks about that as a new life, a new beginning, and a new birth. And so we're looking at that. That's when you join the family. When you are born again, you're part of the family. And so we're recognizing that, and we accept you for who you are. You know, we're gonna love you and serve you and do the best we can and try to help you get where you're supposed to be as a member of our family, just like we would do as a member of our family. We love and accept our family, and that's what we look at. We're a church family. But on the other hand, we realize that, you know, there's lots of great churches in every city. I mean, that's kind of a cool thing. Some people get upset about that, like they think there shouldn't be. They think it should just be one church, but I don't see it that way. I'm glad that there are lots of churches in the city, and really, in one sense, all churches are sort of similar, or they should be. They should all be centrally focused around the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They should be focused on the Bible. And most churches, at least churches that are alive by God's Holy Spirit, should be interested in making disciples of Jesus Christ. And what makes each church unique is how they go about making people disciples of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the church, to help people become followers of Christ. And the way that each church does it gives that church its certain flavor, its certain style, and it is what makes each church unique. And so as a church here, we have our style of making ministry. Making disciples. How do we approach that? Well, as you come into our church, right in the foyer, right as you go out the double doors, we have a display there, and we call that our passport. And really what that is, it's our way that we believe we should be making disciples. It's our style. It's our flavor. We call it passport because our goal is to invite you to join us on the journey of a lifetime. And we like the idea of the compass. We're using that as kind of a visual because, you know, you need a compass to get around. And so what we have on the compass is 4 points. And these are the things that we focus on. North, helping people find God. East, helping people connect and make friends. And South, helping us, encouraging us to reach out to others and bring them into the kingdom. And then West, helping people find a purpose to use their, a place to use their gifts and talents. I always think about that when I'm on a, like going to an airport or something, or I'm on a plane, I just look around like, where is everybody going? You ever think about that? Like, there's thousands of people moving and planes flying and loading, unloading. You look in the plane, where is everybody going? Then I think, where am I going? You know, where? It's just a, we're on this journey. You know, everybody's on this journey and we travel a lot. But what we're trying to focus on is, yeah, not only are we on a journey and are we going lots of places, but we're on a spiritual journey. I mean, we truly are on a spiritual journey. And if you travel anywhere, you do a lot of traveling, you know you need a passport. Those of us heading to Vietnam, we not only have to have a passport, but it has to be good for at least 6 months after we get there. It can't expire when we're there. But the passport helps you to travel. And so what we're trying to do as a church is provide a spiritual passport, something that'll help you through your journey through life. And, you know, at the end, when we're evaluating a church, I mean, think about what is really important. You know, it's not... It doesn't matter if the people in our church know the most about Christian doctrine than any other church. That's not what's going to be the most important thing. It's not going to matter whether we have the most beautiful building in the city. That's not what's going to be measured, what we're going to be measured against. It doesn't matter if we have, if we've got the best worship team in the city, we have the best teachers in the city, or we have the coolest or the best ministries in the city. It doesn't even matter if we have the most people attending in the city. What matters is, have we made disciples, followers of Jesus Christ? And since we are obligated, that is our mission, then what we have to ask ourselves, how do we go about doing that? And so again, on that compass, we have these 4 points, and what we try to do is measure everything we do as a church against those 4 points. Is this helping people find God? Is this helping people find friends? Is this helping people reach out to invite their friends to become part of the kingdom of God? Is this helping people find a place where they can serve and use their talents? And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to take some time and look at these 4 points on the compass and just kind of challenge you to say, how are you doing on your journey? Where are some areas you need to look at? And then in a couple of months, we'll actually be offering the passport class. It'll be held during the service, and they'll actually go through more information on those classes. But this morning, I want to just start with the first one, and that is the North, finding God. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to read a passage. It's found in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, great passage on knowing God. And we'll start in verse 11. This is Paul writing to the church of Ephesus. In verse 11, it says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the sons of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Those 5 or 6 verses there, in my opinion, are the absolute best definition of what a disciple is and what a church should be doing, and how we define discipleship here. It's so, Paul spells it out. He's saying, look, we believe you should start as a child, but at some point you grow spiritually. You're no longer a child, but you mature in the faith, and you're being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And that as you grow spiritually, he says, we're saved. Our salvation is for a purpose. We should find a place. Every joint is supplying something and contributing and being effective in the building of the body of Christ. And that everything that we do is done in love. It's for the growth, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That this is what discipleship is. And since we're talking about discipleship, the first step that we try to focus on is what we call North, helping people find God. You can't head off and go down the journey of following Christ or being a disciple until you've truly connected with God. Finding God is what we have on our compass. We call it North, or actually I like to call it True North, because if you know anything about a compass, you know, if you're trying to use a compass to get any place, the most important thing to first do is to get yourself finding where North is. Once you know where North is and your compass is set, then you know where you need to go, and you need to know, then you can decide if you have to make any changes on your journey. But True North is about discovering God. And what we realize is when you come to this church, everybody comes with a different background. You know, some people come to our church with a different church background, and their church did it differently. And so what we're trying to do is help you understand, how can you find God? What do we mean by finding God? Some people come to our church and they have no church background whatsoever. They don't know anything about Scripture. They've never even read the Bible. And so, you know, what we're trying to do is help you discover, how can you find God? And so what we're offering is the idea that you can know God. And we offer this opportunity often as a part of our Sunday service. We'll offer this opportunity through our Firm Foundation. But the reason we're offering it is because we believe, I mean, we truly believe that God can be known personally, that you can have a relationship with God. Now, for some of you, you know, you've been saved and born again for so many years, this doesn't shock you, but keep in mind, people who've never encountered God's Holy Spirit have never heard this. This is news. This is really good news. We believe that the average person, every person can have an encounter with God, have a life-changing encounter with God, that this encounter is not just for the select few, not just for the holy person, not just for the preacher, not just for the priest, that you can know God directly. You can have communication with God. We believe that anybody who sincerely is searching, anybody who's really looking, God is going to reveal himself to them through his Son, Jesus Christ. That finding God is a life-changing encounter that you can have. And you know what's interesting is the Scriptures are full of passages that sometimes we read them and we don't really stop and think about them, but there's so many passages where it says, and God said to Abraham, and God said to Moses, and God said to David. Old Testament is filled with passages like that. New Testament has passages where it talks about God speaking to the saints. And so, you know, what I want to ask you is, wouldn't you like it if it said, and God said to Stephen, God said to Doug, God said to Mary, God said to Jane, and God said to Tom, and God said to Dave? I mean, wouldn't you like to hear that? Yeah, that's why these passages are here, that they're talking about God speaks to you. God can speak to you. You know, he will say to you, in conversation, things you should do and shouldn't do. There's a big difference when we say, I'm talking to you, or I'm talking with you. And the sad thing is, for a lot of people, their conversation with God, or even their prayer, is mostly just talking to God. But what we're talking about when we say finding God, we're talking about really connecting with God through his Holy Spirit. This is real. This is not just a religious exercise. This is not just something you walk through. This is a real relationship, as real as any relationship you can be involved in. It is two-way. It's not just I'm talking to God. It is we're talking with God through his Holy Spirit. It may sound fundamental, but in fact, many churches miss this, and many people that call themselves Christians don't even know this is possible. You know, if you grow up in America and you ask somebody, are you a Christian? The majority of people who grow up in America will say, I'm a Christian, because they think it's cultural. I'm a cultural Christian. But that's not what we're talking about. That is a religion. What we're talking about when we say finding God, we're talking about a relationship. And if you read down just a couple of more verses, you see Paul really bring this out. Like in verse 17 down through like 20, 21, he says, this I say therefore, and I testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. When he refers to Gentiles, Paul means by Gentiles those who are not Jewish. That's what Gentiles means. It means the unchurched, the unsaved, the non-Jewish people. So don't walk as the unchurched in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to licentiousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But now listen to this. But you have not so learned Christ, if, this is one of those big ifs, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. This is really a fascinating passage of scriptures. First of all, who's Paul writing to here? The church of Ephesus. Ephesus was not Jerusalem. The people who lived in Ephesus had never been to Jerusalem, had never been to Israel. The people in Ephesus had never met Jesus in the flesh. You know, when Jesus was on the earth, his 32 or 33 years, he stayed in Israel, mostly around Jerusalem and Capernaum. Here's Paul writing to this church far, far away, and he's saying to them, listen, you're different. You're not like the Gentiles. You're not like the unchurched in verse 20. You've not so learned Christ. But then he says, if indeed you have heard him and you have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. See, these people never met Jesus in the flesh, but they heard him. They had been taught by him. They had made a connection with God through his Holy Spirit. And Paul's reference to it is, it's so real. It's like you hearing his voice. It's like you're being taught by him. Now, sometimes people wonder, does God, you know, really have a voice? Does God really have a voice? Well, yes. I mean, yes, he spoke audibly in the Old Testament. He actually spoke audibly in the New Testament. I mean, there's times where Jesus' baptism, it says the heavens were open and God spoke. When Paul was converted on the road to Damascus, it says he was knocked off his horse and the people around him heard this thunder, this noise. They didn't exactly know what it was, but it was the voice of God. When Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration, God spoke in an audible voice. So in fact, God has a voice. I mean, when we say voice, we mean real voice. The only difference is we don't hear that audible voice anymore. It's not like I hear it with my ears, but in fact, do my ears hear every sound that's going on? Well, no, we know that. I mean, if you have a dog whistle and you blow it, our ears don't pick it up. It's at a different level. The dog will hear it. I never could understand this part, but like they say right now, there's radio waves going through our building right now, and we can't see them, but that's what's making this microphone work. There's radio waves. My ear can't pick up the radio waves unless I have a receiver. If we have a receiver, then I can pick that up. Well, I believe God has a voice. He just speaks at a different decibel level, a different wavelength, but he has a voice. It's a real voice. You can hear him. I take this literally. If indeed you have heard him. I mean, what is so sad is that so many Christians will say, I've never heard God speak to me. You may not have, but in fact, he's speaking to you. I can tell you, Paul's saying he's speaking to you. He's speaking to the church in Ephesus. He's speaking to the church here in Vineyard. He's talking to you. He has a voice. We need a receiver to hear that voice. What's the receiver? The Holy Spirit of God. When you are born again and you ask God to come into your life and forgive you of your sins and you invite God's Holy Spirit in your life, that becomes the receiver. And he dwells inside of us and we hear him from within. It's still a voice, but sometimes we think, well, if it's not audible, it's not a real voice. We don't really believe that because we know there's plenty of sounds that we don't hear with our ears, but they're real voices. And you can hear the voice of God. Now, we know everyone is different. You know, Paul's saying, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him. So, everybody's a little different. And the way we experience God is a little different. But we're all talking about the same thing. Truly experiencing God through his Holy Spirit. Having a real relationship with God. Keep in mind, this is why we were created. You know, if you ever did catechism as a child through some of the formal churches, one of the questions they asked in catechism was, who made me? God made me. Why did God make me? That he might know me, I might have a relationship with him, that I might know him. We crave that. Sometimes we're not aware of it, but sometimes it's described as having that God-shaped hole in our heart, and until that God-shaped hole is filled, we will crave and try to fill it with everything else, but only God can meet that. And he meets it like this: if indeed you have heard him. He meets it because the Creator will have a relationship with us and speak to us personally, give us personal wisdom and guidance, be involved in our everyday life. He's not the kind of God who's so busy that he just doesn't have time. He's not the kind of God where I have to go through the receptionist and then through the next person, you know, the archangel and then St. Peter, and then eventually I get to the main man. I go right to God through his son Jesus. I have access to the throne of God, and he will teach me. But he does it differently. You know, some people, they have a greater encounter with God through worship music. Worship music is a powerful way to experience God. That's why we encourage and have worship at our church on Sunday. It's not just to sing songs. It's to understand this is a method, is maybe a more common term that we might think of. It's sort of like a portal. It's a doorway into the presence of God. And there's something about singing worship music that because it sort of bypasses the intellect, it comes from the heart, you're able to connect with God. Some people have a better connection with God when they're reading Scripture. I mean, that's just my place of encountering God. When I'm reading Scripture, I feel like I'm sitting there, God's talking to me, we're having the coolest conversation, and I encounter God through Scripture. You can encounter God out in creation. You know, Psalms talk about how all creation testifies of the glory of God. You know, going for a walk in the woods, spending some time out in country at night, sometimes that can be really, really helpful. You start beginning to realize, wait a minute, there's a God out there, look at this. And I mean, there's just many ways. Through taking communion on Sunday, through fellowship one with another. Many times I'll be fellowship with people and just new revelations come. You hear people say things and I walk away going, man, that's really incredible. And my relationship with God starts to develop. So there's different ways. There are many, many different ways you can encounter God. But this passage here is like the crux of what we're talking about when we say finding God. We're not just talking about a religion. We're not just talking about believing he exists. You'll know that, notice the wording here in verse 21. It says, if indeed you have heard him. Folks, that's different than if he was saying, if indeed you have heard about him. You know, we have heard about the president. We have heard about famous celebrities. We have heard about other politicians. We have heard about them. But that doesn't mean I know them. When he's talking here, if indeed you have heard him, he's talking about he has spoken to you. He sat down and talked to you. Not like you heard him in a speech. He's talking about you have heard him and you have been taught by him. How can you enter into this experience? Well, again, there's many ways, but I want to close with one passage of scripture here. We're going to finish up with this. But turn, if you have your Bibles, to Revelations 3:20. Revelations 3:20, famous passage of scriptures. It's a passage of scripture that I have like a personal affinity with because it's the scripture that helped bring me to that saving knowledge of Christ when I was lost and unsaved, and someone shared this passage with me. And it says in chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus is speaking, and Jesus is actually speaking to a Christian church, which is even more incredible because you would think that he wouldn't have to say this to a Christian church. But in verse 20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. This is Jesus speaking to a Christian church. Why would he be telling that to a Christian church? It's like you would assume he's already in there. But what he's saying is, it is possible to be religious and not have a relationship. It is possible to follow a moral code. It's possible to be culturally called a Christian and not have Jesus inside of you. And here's Jesus saying, listen, I would love to come into your life. You personally, I'm knocking at the door of your heart. I'm asking you, would you open the door and would you invite me in? Jesus is never going to infringe on anybody. He's not going to force himself into your life. But he's there. Paul talked about this in a sermon he preached in the book of Acts. In one passage in one city, he was talking to the people. They were following after different idols. And he said, I know you're searching after God. He said, let me tell you something. God isn't far from any one of you. He's very, very close. And then he began to talk to them about the one true God. But I like to add to that, yeah, he's so close, he's at the front door. God has been at the front door of your life, your entire life, from creation. From the day he created you. But he waits for that invitation. He waits for the day where you open the door of your heart and you say, Jesus, come into my life. Become my Lord. I mean, the wording here is just fantastic. He doesn't just want to come in and sit down and lecture you. He wants to come in and have dinner with you. I mean, there's so many places you read about Jesus and his view of sitting and hanging out with people and having food, sharing food together. I mean, he wants to be a part of our lives. And until we get that clear, you know, the journey will never, ever get us where we're supposed to be. So in summary, I want to encourage you to understand that this finding God, first of all, is not just a one-time experience. First, we do have to find him. We need to make that encounter with him. And some of you sitting here today, maybe you've never, ever taken that first step. You know, you come to church. Maybe you've been coming for a long time. Maybe today's your first day here. But I encourage you, you need to take that first step. You need to open the door. Open the door. Invite him in. He brings the Holy Spirit. That becomes the receiver. When you have the receiver in your heart, you can begin to hear the voice of God as he begins to guide you through life. It's not just a one-time experience. It's a relationship. It's not about following rules and regulations. It's about listening to the Holy Spirit and recognizing his voice is different. There's a great story in the book of Kings where the prophet Elijah, God wanted to speak to Elijah, and he told him to get up in the mountain, and he put him like in a little cleft in the mountain. And it says, while he stood there, an earthquake, a tremor, swept by him like a hurricane, and it shook up the mountain. And it said, but the voice of God wasn't in there. And then it said, a swirl of fire swept by him, and a thunder like a thunderstorm swept by him, and the voice of God wasn't in it. Then it said, it got real quiet, and a still small voice. And in that still small voice was the voice of God. God spoke to him in a still small voice. You know, he didn't want to speak through the thundering. He didn't want to speak through the lightning and the fire. He speaks in a still small voice. And we do have to quiet ourselves if we're going to hear God. But you can hear that voice. And the better you get at hearing that voice, the better it is you're able to discern, is that voice that I'm hearing in my head and my heart, is that my voice? Is that my head? Or is that the voice of guilt and condemnation? Is that the voice of somebody else speaking in my head? Or is that the voice of God? It's never easy. I don't think anybody ever hits this 100%. But I can tell you, you can learn to recognize the voice of God. And you begin to realize, wow, God's speaking to me. God's guiding me. And I tell you, that will meet the hole in your heart. So just in closing, as I started earlier, I said we don't have what we call a formal membership as a church, but we believe that discipleship, becoming a follower of Christ, best takes place in a church family environment. I want to close with this passage here in Psalm 92. It says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in their old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. So let me encourage you to join the journey with us. You know, get your spiritual passport and get true north settled in your heart that you can continue on the journey through life. Let's close in prayer. God, we're just grateful that you really do want to know each one of us in a personal way. It's a bit incredible. How you go about doing that, I don't understand it, but I do know it's true, and I thank you, God, that our relationship with you is more than just one way. It's not just us talking to you, but it's also listening to you as you speak to us and as you teach us, each one of us individually, God. Father, I pray for each person here as they're on their journey through life, God. I pray that they get it settled, clear in their hearts, that true north, they know where that is, God. That they've opened their hearts to receive you into their lives. And just as we're closing, I just want to take a minute here and challenge all of you as you're sitting there. You know, there may be some of you here today that are feeling that tug at your heart. Maybe you're getting the revelation, man, I want to start this journey and I want to start it right. I'd like to ask God into my life. Just like Jesus said he was knocking at the door of the church, I believe he's knocking at the door of your heart right now. You may be feeling that emotional sensation, and it isn't really emotional. It's really the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit literally knocking at the door of your heart. But all that is an opportunity. It's just an opportunity for you to make a decision this morning. Do you want to start that journey? Do you want to open the door of your heart? So just before we go into our worship and stuff, I just want to challenge you and say, if you're ready to make a decision this morning, in just a minute I'm going to ask you, just raise your hand where you're sitting, and right where you're sitting, we're just going to pray a blessing over you. We're going to pray a little simple prayer, but it begins that journey. I mean, it's really a spiritual event. God will truly come in to your house, and you will begin a real relationship with the living God that will truly change your life. Father, by your Holy Spirit, you only you know, God. You know the condition of every person here. But Father, we just want to take a moment, ask, knock at the door of anyone's heart here. They've not opened that door, Holy Spirit. Let them hear that knocking. Awaken that hunger within their heart, that desire to know you, God. So would you just do me a favor, if you're sitting right where you're at and you just feel, sense the door, Jesus knocking at the door of your heart, you want to make a decision, just do me a favor, just hold your hand up, say, yep, Pastor Dave, I want to make that decision this morning. Yep, I see a hand right over here on the right. Hold it up. I'm going to pray with you in just a minute. Come on, man, this is your chance. You can start the journey just like all of us did by opening the door of your heart. Just raise your hand. Pastor Dave, I want to make that decision this morning. I want to open the door of my heart. I want to invite Jesus into my life. Begin to experience what it is to know God. Anybody else this morning, just hold your hand up. We're going to pray for you. Holy Spirit, let them hear you knocking. Thank you, Father. All the way in the back. Yep, good, good. Yep, another hand up there. Come on. Come on, man. This is your time right now. Holy Spirit of God. Anybody else? Just hold your hand up. I see two hands up right now. All right. Well, those of you that have your hands up right over here in the front, toward the front here and all the way in the back there, two people have their hand up. And in the back there, somebody else got their hand up there. Just, would you, if you're around somebody who's got their hand up right now, we're just going to pray a prayer. Just get around them. We're going to just pray a real simple prayer. Right up here, Mark. Yep, right up here. There you go. Get with this sister right here. All the way back there. Yeah, so we're just going to pray a real simple prayer. All of us are going to pray this together, but I tell you, God's Holy Spirit is going to come. He's going to come right now. So, Jesus, I'm opening the door of my life right now. I'm inviting you in. Please come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to have a relationship with you. Change my life today. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. Just come. Just breathe it in like air right now in the name of Jesus. Just come. Just come, Holy Spirit. Just come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome. Welcome to the family of God. That's awesome, man. Let's stand up. Amen. Amen, sister. Good for you. All the way in the back. All right. Yeah. This is the beginning. It's the beginning of that journey. May it be real and truly life-changing. We're going to have our ushers come forward. We'll pray for our offering. In Jesus' name. Amen. And one more thing, just before we close in prayer. Grab somebody's hand. If there's somebody to the right of you, left of you, if there's nobody next to you, go across the aisle. Grab somebody's hand. I just got this word isolated, that, you know, sometimes you can be in the midst of the church and feel alone. And I want God to speak to you this morning. You are not alone. You're part of a family, and it's a real family. And so sometimes just grabbing somebody's hand just kind of brings it home. So I just want to bless that. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I just speak against any sense of isolation, any sense of aloneness, God, that people, the family here would begin to realize they're part of a family, God. It's your family. That they have true brothers and sisters, God, who care for them. I just pray you break down any walls that may have been built around them, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray that. Amen. Amen. So now we're going to close with a song, a worship song. If you have some special needs this morning, I did get this one word that some of you have been praying about something for a long, long time, and you might have even said this, like the heavens are brass. Sometimes you feel like the heavens brass. It's not supposed to be brass. You're supposed to be able to break through. So if there's something you've been praying about and you really feel like you just need to break through, I just want to encourage you. Let's get some prayer this morning. If you've got other special needs, we'll be praying for you as we close with our last song.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect. Perfect, Lord. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, you're a good Father. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect, Lord. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Don't believe the lies of the enemy. You are not unloved. You're loved by God, your Father. He's created you for great things. Sing that one more time. You're a good, good Father.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Remember that you are loved. May the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be blessed this week. We love you. See you next week.